Welcome to CFO Talk. I'm your host, Steve Rosewald, Chief Learning Officer at CFO.University. Joining us today is Solange Charis, founder of HC Moneyball, a cloud-based platform providing corporate human capital insight. She's an adjunct professor at a number of well-known universities, including Columbia University and the University of Southern California. Early in her career, she worked at a number of international accounting firms before stepping into her first CHRO role. Solange earned her bachelor's degree in international studies from both the University of California, Los Angeles, and UC Berkeley, an MBA from Cornell's Johnson Graduate School of Management, a PhD in management from Case Western, studied at the London Business School, and is certified in negotiations from Harvard. Welcome, Solange. It's great to have you on the show.
Glad to be joining you today.
We have had some conversations on human capital measurement and talent measurement in the past, and you've done some incredible work in that area using data and analytics. Maybe start things off. Why has human capital measurement become so important to business leaders today?
I think that there's a recognition that a return on investment in all things corporate is now required to basically rationalize and justify investors' continued investment in organizations. And we've basically looked at every area in the enterprise to understand performance from a quantitative and metrics perspective, except for human capital. So we've looked at financial performance, we've looked at marketing, sales, operations, production. And this is what I like to think of from a Star Trek perspective, the final frontier, where we're actually looking at the labor part of the business model to quantify it, understand it, and optimize it. And so that's why it's gotten a lot of attention. It also helps that for most organizations, they spend anywhere upwards of 50% of their total operating expense on people and people programs. So it would just make sense that we start thinking about, are we getting a return on investment in that expense of people?
I really started seeing this 10 or 12 years ago, maybe a little bit more. Being a CFO and coming through the accounting ranks, you always saw labor expense. And we never looked at capitalizing that. Maybe in professional sports, they capitalize labor and things like that. But we very straightforward is when what you pay somebody and the benefits they get, that's what you run through the P&L. And you hit the nail on the head, I think, in the book that you did. You talk about the workforce is what drives organizational value, creating organizational value. That's true. And so we, rather than treating expense, I like the idea of how to at least look at it deeper from a capitalization standpoint. You showed some statistics you used. Would you share those with us?
Yeah, sure. So we did some research at the conference board, and I'm a member of the conference board and am the senior advisor for the Strategic Human Capital Center. I'm a distinguished principal research fellow, so I do primary research with the conference board. And last year, they invited me to join their advisory board for the Human Capital Center. So I spent a lot of time and energy at the conference board. About a year ago, we did some research. We actually tried to understand the relationship between human capital analytics that organizations embed in their human capital management and the impact on corporate or enterprise level performance. A couple of interesting twists to this research. The first is most organizations aren't asked whether or not they use human capital analytics as part of their human capital management, which was enough to go out to the conference board members and say, what do you use? How do you use it? What compounded the interest in this was COVID. So we did our first survey prior to COVID and the COVID lockdown. And we did a follow-on survey post-lockdown, like 8 months later, to really understand how COVID had impacted organization performance and the use of data analytics in trying to gain insights about human capital performance. So this checked a lot of boxes in terms of originality and in terms of applicability. But what we found was of the conference board members that participated in both surveys, and the average market capitalization of those organizations was about $1 billion. So we're looking at larger organizations that have the financial wherewithal to have human capital analysts and use the rigor of human capital analytics to get business insights. What we found was organizations that embed human capital analytics in managing their human capital function had human capital return on investment about 300%, 270% higher than those organizations that do not rigorously embed human capital as part, human capital analytics as part of their management process. So let me unpack that a little bit. What's HCROI? HCROI is a measure of the return on investment in human capital spent. So, you know, you had said as a CFO, we basically have a sunk cost on human capital, on salary, wages, pensions, benefits, perquisites, training and development, any of the costs. You saw that as basically a sunk cost. We are now rethinking that, saying we probably should get a return on investment of that. What is the relationship between what we spend on employees and the return that we get at the organization or at the enterprise level? So HCROI is a very simple algorithm. It's revenue minus expense adjusted for total cost of workforce or your human capital costs. So you adjust your total expense for that. And it gives you a pure adjusted gross profit without human capital costs reflected in that. And then we divide that by your human capital costs. So you're basically seeing a pure return. For every dollar we invest in people, what is our gross profit on that, excluding the cost of people?
Makes perfect sense. That's how you do other capital investments, right? You take out the cost, you look at the ROI. So that makes a lot of sense. And the simplicity is pretty elegant.
Very good. And hopefully your listeners will also identify with that kind of a measure. What we found was companies that don't use human capital analytics only had a $7.30 return on human capital investment versus $19.75 for those that are using human analytics to inform their decisions around human capital, which is huge. And you can understand what kind of an impact that has on bottom line, which we actually found to have a 25% accretive value on profitability. Mm. So as a CFO, where are you going to invest your money to get a 270% return on investment and an accretive value of 25% on profitability?
In human capital data analytics. Yeah. That's fantastic. Let me go to another follow-up question. And this has to do with data, and you've started covering it. But when it comes to data and analytics, what does that mean for a business? You talked about the total cost of the labor force and things like that. But what if I'm a CFO and saying, okay, so as you're telling me, I need to start doing this. What's my next steps in the data analytics? What does that mean to me?
As a CFO or as a financial person, you've been charged with looking for efficiencies in your organization, right? So the CFO function in and of itself has evolved over the last several years, maybe the last 5-10 years, from being simply a data gathering, data analytics, and data presentation function to being more active in generating efficiencies in the organization. Your audience probably knows that they've been asked to do more than just manage the books and present financial outcomes. It's really to get much more involved in managing the business model and finding ways to generate more value for stakeholders, shareholders, customers, the whole stakeholder area. So starting with HCROI is a really good place because it actually gives you that economic indicator of the contribution of human capital investment to financial outcomes. But HCROI is only one measure that a CFO can look at. They can also look at things that measures like HCVA, human capital value add. So that is the per employee contribution to profitability. You can look at HCMV, human capital market value. If you are a public company, you're going to actually figure out human capital contribution to market value. So those are the big, what I call macroeconomic indicators that you can easily correlate to corporate financial performance or corporate market value. And we actually recommend that you look at those numbers month by month or quarter by quarter, but don't do it on an annual basis because by then it's too late.
The analytics part where you're taking deep data, is that part of this whole human capital management too, where you're looking at large assets? Because right now, the elegance that I'm hearing is that these are things that companies probably already have mostly available in their historic records. Is that pretty true?
That's pretty true. That, especially at the CFO level, you see everything that a company spends in their organization. As a CFO, you don't really need to understand at the program level what's happening in the human capital function. What do I mean by the program level? Things like, what is attrition? What is retention? What is the efficiency of the organization's recruitment function? Those are program level human capital areas that a CFO might not want to get involved in and might not be able to understand those programs, because if they understood human resources, they would be in a human resources role. They would be in a financial role, right? One of the interesting things that I heard recently was, because of the anticipated SEC requirements on human capital disclosure, we are seeing that the top HR person and the top financial person in their organization are now beginning to be good, close friends, whereas they didn't really spend a lot of time together.
They didn't speak the same language, right, for a long time.
And what we're trying to do is get them to speak the same language.
Makes perfect sense. Hey, you, to emphasize your points on some of the examples you just gave, you had shared with me a slide that had some of the key metrics. Would you mind going through that?
The way that we look at it is that there are measures of effectiveness and ROI for human capital programs. And there is how that program actually impacts enterprise level performance. So we want to make the connection between what's going on in the human capital area or the talent area and how that impacts corporate financial performance. There are a lot of people out there that are talking about people analytics, and that's what we consider the human capital level analytics. And that's really looking at things like headcount, attrition, and quality of hire. Usually HR programs have their own KPIs, and an HR person will be happy if their program met the KPI that's expected from them. But what we want to emphasize is it's not just people analytics, it's human capital analytics that's really the focus. It's how performance in human capital is impacting financial performance. So I often say, cross over the blood-brain barrier to see how the two are connected. There are lots of HRIS programs out there and consulting firms and SaaS products, but they don't cross the blood-brain barrier. They'll tell you how you do on diversity or training or recruitment, but they don't connect that performance to corporate financial performance. And it's that competitive advantage of our platform is that we are integrating human capital performance and corporate financial performance, so you can see how they're correlated.
We've been able to measure a lot of these things in the past. What you can't do is link them to, did that make us better or not?
That's exactly right.
So that's the, and there's the intuition, right? We've used a lot of intuition, the heuristics around what's good and bad. And I think it's really incredible that the strides that you and this industry is making in being able to tie these metrics to actual corporate performance. That's very exciting.
In the end, what we're really talking about is materiality, right? So the CFOs, that's all you're talking about now is materiality. And what we're trying to do is help you connect the dots between human capital and materiality that needs to be disclosed according to the SEC. And so what this chart shows is really how you should be thinking about this. So if you want to understand headcount or attrition or retention or diversity, and I call those out because those are the anticipated disclosures that the SEC is going to require of filers, plus the total cost of workforce. Here's how you should contextualize that, frame that. Look at headcount trends over time. That, you know, the income statement approach instead of the balance sheet approach. Let's look at the sources and uses of human capital to generate value, not just balance sheet level of assets or the level of liabilities we have in the organization. So we're saying, here's how you can take a human capital program and actually frame it as a materiality impact for the organization.
Let me derail you for 1 second, because this question pops into my mind when you talk about the balance sheet. How far are we, and maybe it's an SEC requirement or something, from capitalizing human capital on the balance sheet? Is that something way beyond our lifetimes? How would we do that?
I don't think it's beyond our lifetime. So I want to say that. I think probably in the next 5 years or so, some very smart accountants are going to come up with a way to actually represent human capital on the balance sheet as an asset. We've got human capital on the balance sheet as a liability already, right? Because we've got prepaid and we've got promises to pay in the future for employees. Mm-hmm. So we've captured the liability side of human capital on the balance sheet, but we've never captured the asset part, the asset contribution of human capital on the balance sheet. And I hope somebody smarter than I comes up with that really soon.
What you've just told me is if I want to look smart, CFO.University needs to get involved with some really other smart people and figure out how that might look. I really appreciate some of those examples. I think they're spot on. And you think about retention and attrition, and development is one of the important ones for us, is how do we measure development? So that's something I add to your list, is we can work on that. And how do we know that? An example for us would be, is our teaching and our development model working to add value to companies as well as individuals' careers? We think it's certainly added, yeah, but how do we measure that? So that's another project that we work on later. But tell me about the number one challenge that business leaders are facing when it comes to getting this human capital measurement in place and making it valuable for their companies.
I think there are a couple of challenges, but most fundamental is around data. Even though all the data is resident in the organization to be able to calculate all these metrics, that I think is a big challenge for organizations. HR people have a hard time extracting the kind of data that they need, and CFOs have a hard time ensuring that they're using consistent data. So this is also what's happening in organizations, is that the CFO has his own data set, HR has its own data set, legal has its own data set. And when they do the analytics, they come up with different outcomes because the data sets aren't consistent. And that's another benefit of using a software as a service that warehouses all the data in an integration platform, so that when finance is doing calculations and HR is doing calculations, they're doing it on the same data set. So the first challenge is really around data. And we've heard this for years, right? Garbage in, garbage out, gaggo. You want to make sure that your data is good. And there are very sophisticated HRIS systems now that will let you query and get the right data that you need from your HRIS.
It's amazing your response and how many business leaders, whether it's in supply chain, operations, marketing, that have the data is an issue.
And in this day and age, it shouldn't be, right?
In one way, I 100% agree with you. But in the other way, there are a lot of smart people in a lot of different places and businesses, and they're not necessarily in the same hat. And they're all figuring out how to do things, right? And they want to do them quickly. And once you start adding new departments to, hey, I now got to make this available, all of a sudden it slows everything down. So it's like the Excel spreadsheet. Excel takes a lot of bullets. But the reason it's so effective is because it's quick to use, it's individual. And that's the challenge. It's a cultural, individual, emotional thing that people come into. So you're going to, now I'm going to wait for you to give me a data warehouse. Okay, when is that? And it should be, as you said, easy as a click of a button. It isn't that easy, because we have some really smart people that are trying to figure stuff out themselves, and they don't want to be slowed down. So I think there's a cultural issue there, and being agile. How do we keep the speed moving as leaders and get people what they need? And that I think is the number one struggle in these data warehouses, that people look at, you're going to make me solve this problem in a year. I want to solve it yesterday. And so so teamwork and all those things that come with really the cultural aspect of it are really important. I think you're willing to share an example of where using data and analytics and human capital measurement has been really successful for meeting this area. Can you share that with us?
One of the things that we talk about in the upcoming book is that there is a predisposition to thinking that human capital analytics is dehumanizing. There's a lot of HR people that are pushing back on using data to inform decisions because they're afraid that it really just dehumanizes the function and dehumanizes the workforce. And what we believe is the opposite, is that using data analytics to understand the workforce, either in the aggregate or by segments, provides you better insights to take actions that benefit the masses versus the squeaky wheel. So we used to manage by squeaky wheel in HR. Who's complaining the most is probably the biggest complaint, so let's deal with that. Whereas the rest of the population were complaining about something else, so we didn't pay attention. What data analytics allows us to do is really understand the trends in the organization so that we don't get misled by the squeaky wheel, and we actually are designing and managing programs that impact the mass. So I'm going to use another Star Trek analogy. Spock would say, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. Data analytics lets you hear the voices of the many instead of just being influenced by the voice of the few.
Interesting.
So there are lots of times where I've worked with clients and they've believed that this is their big issue. And when we use data analytics, we've discovered that's just a symptom, but it's not the root cause. And the data analytics allows us to understand with statistical significance the substantive root causes of problems in the organization so that they can take appropriate action and address the things that cost the company unnecessarily.
Has there been any measure that this one really helped this company? Something that really stood out to say, this was something that was a aha moment for that leadership team?
So we're working with an organization that had never calculated their HCROI. And they actually thought that they weren't a good HR performer. And what we found is not only was their HCROI going up over time, which made a contribution to profitability for the organization, but when we benchmarked them to their competitors, their HCROI was 2 to 3 times higher than their competitors. And it really changed the way management thought about their competitive advantage, thought about how they invest in human capital, about how they communicate. The messages to the board was, our human capital is far more productive than our competitors are, and maybe we should loosen the purse strings on human capital programs and rewards for the employees. And it really just changed their whole perspective of the role of human capital in driving economic value creation for the organization.
Do you have a feel for why they didn't think they were high quality in this area?
Because they didn't have the metrics that showed the data tells the story. And they just had never, they were a fast growing organization. They'd only been public for a year or so. The attention wasn't focused on that. And so when we are using the platform and when they started using these macroeconomic indicators like HCROI and HEVA and HCVA, it told a very different story than the superstition, than the wives' tale about how human capital is not performing in the organization. And so it really transformed the way they thought about people and the way they thought about their management, because they thought their management wasn't doing a good enough job. The management was doing a pretty good job around people. So that was a real eye-opener for them.
There's a book, it's called The Design of Business by Roger Martin. And he talks about this issue in a way of what starts out, we're in the mysterious. So we're trying to solve an issue and we don't have any idea. We moved the heuristic. So that's where we have these superstitions you're talking about, or the learning that we have. And then he talks about moving to the algorithmic, which is the program part of measuring things, which is what you're doing. So the journey that they took, and I highly recommend the book. It's an easy read, and I love it from an innovation standpoint, but it fits in exactly with kind of the steps that this company took and what you provided them, that moving from the heuristic to the algorithmic to improve understanding.
And it's all about creating business insights to make more effective, sustainable decisions for the enterprise.
Well,
one of the things that companies are not measuring, which CFOs, you should be thinking about, is the cost of attrition. And it's not been quantified for the most part. There are some organizations now that are beginning to quantify the cost of attrition. In fact, I have an attrition calculator that I just used for a client. It will be completely eye-opening for you on how much attrition costs the organization. An example is, several years ago, I worked with a Japanese organization, and we were talking about what their merit increase budget should be. And they did not want to go, they didn't want to catch up to the market. They didn't want to have a generous merit increase budget. And basically what I did is I calculated their cost of attrition. And their cost of attrition was something like 20% of payroll annually.
Yeah.
And we were only asking for something like 4% of payroll as the merit increase. And the idea is, if you pay below market, you're going to have enhanced attrition because people will go where the money is. So it's costing you 20% versus the 4% we're asking for to staunch that attrition. And we basically ran some scenarios and looked at the sensitivity analysis. And basically, what we came up with was an 8% budget instead of a 4% budget, an 8% budget, which was actually going to save them something like 16% of their payroll cost in turnover. When they were able to see the utility, the cost-benefit analysis, they were able to make better decisions. And in fact, what we did is we reduced their attrition by 50%. So they got a much bigger return on that 8% merit budget than they thought they were going to get, which is actually 16%.
We have something similar. So we have to compare notes. We call it the cost of turnover, but I agree with you. It's a hidden cost that kind of gets buried in the financials. There's no place in the financials that say cost of attrition.
No.
But same thing. So we'll have to compare notes on that. I'll bet they look pretty similar.
Sure they do.
You have a book coming out in September, Humanizing Human Capital. And I just want to let people know, and we'll post, when we post the CFO talk, we'll let people know how they can stay in touch with that and make sure that they get their copy. Because I think this whole area is such an expanding area for CFOs and finance leaders. And we want them to be on the latest in that technology. And I think, Solange, you are definitely delivering the latest in this area. Really appreciate you coming on, and thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
That wraps up today's CFO Talk.